Hello, and welcome to Pest in Class, Expert Voices in Pest Management. I'm your host, Amanda Salvatore, and on today's episode, we have Zeus Martinez, COO of Newtown Termite and Pest. Zeus's company has grown 377% in the last 3 years. We talked about how to prepare your business for that type of growth, focusing on enhancing efficiency, and being a team player in your community. Let's get into it.
You're listening to Pest in Class, Expert Voices in Pest Management, brought to you by Field Routes, your ultimate destination for insider knowledge and conversations with top professionals in the pest industry. Join us as we sit down with leading experts, seasoned entrepreneurs, and the innovative minds who are shaping the industry today.
Zeus Martinez, thank you so much for joining me on Pest in Class today. You are the COO of Newtown Termite and Pest. I am so excited to talk to you today.
I'm happy to be here. I hope I can give you some good answers.
I think you will. Zeus and I have talked previously, and I think our listeners are really going to enjoy this conversation. You have some really great insight as well as a shining personality. So I think it's going to be a fun one.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to it.
Thank you. And I'm not sure if you know this, but you are our first guest on the podcast.
I didn't know that. So I got to set the bar really high so everyone else is just a little bit.
Exactly. I thought, go big or go home.
Fair enough. Yeah. You got big, so.
I did. And I'm very excited. Thank you again. So before we really get into the nitty gritty, I wanted to ask you an icebreaker and get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
So what song are you currently listening to on repeat right now?
You know, I wish I could give you a cool answer, but I listen to a lot of different music. Some of my friends, when they're in my truck, they're like, you know, your playlist kind of gives me whiplash, you know? But so I'll listen to anything from George Strait, The Strokes, you know, everything. But my uncool answer right now is All My Exes Live in Texas by George Strait. I listen to that all the time. The cool answer is Reptilia by The Strokes. So you get one
nice.
Of those.
You know what? Both good choices. For country music, I am very much stuck in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to. So I'm like, I know George Strait. I know that name. So much appreciated. And I'll have to check it out. So put
it's
it on a
one.
Playlist.
It's a good
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I bet you it is. I believe it. I wanted to kind of dive right in and find out what your journey was into pest control, because I know you didn't really start out there.
Right. Yeah. So my journey in pest control was kind of a rocky one a little bit, I'd say. Basically, what happened was in between, you know, semesters in college, I was looking for work. And Glenn, the owner of Newtown, I already knew him since I was dating his daughter in high school. And I just casually mentioned to him, like, hey, you know, you got some for me, you know? And he was like, yeah, of course, you know, like, you know, in pest control, you're always looking for somebody to, you know, fulfill that route, get a truck going. So he taught me everything I know about pest control. So I was out there for a summer, you know, mosquito sprays, termites. I did one of everything. So I have that under my banner. So it was a great learning experience. It was really fun and I really enjoyed it. But you know, like I mentioned, I was in between semesters in college and I didn't really think that pest control was for me. So I was like, you know, let me just stay in my field that I'm doing. Fast forward a few years, I finished school. I got out of that. And the job I was working wasn't really making me happy anymore. And again, I mentioned to Glenn, you know, man, I don't really know if this is what I want to do forever, you know? And he came up to me. He's like, well, you know, I kind of have a position open. And it wasn't a tech anymore. It was, I need somebody to help me run my like operational stuff. So let me give it a shot. Let me try it out, you know? And he really took a big gamble on me because my background is nowhere near pest control. It's nowhere near business either, you know?
You have an engineering degree, right?
Yeah, I went to school for engineering. So, you know, logistics, analytics, anything like that, I was really good at. So I tried to kind of bring in all that I knew from there. And it ended up, you know, paying off pretty big for us.
Yeah. When you started, you were doing some operations within the company. So how did you get to be COO of Newtown?
I like to think that it was my, you know, charming personality and good looks, but really it was basically what happened was I would constantly be looking for new things to like do things more efficiently. You know, that's really one of the things that we kind of really hammer on in engineering school. Things can always be better. Things can always be more efficient. So I would look around and think, because we were pretty much like very technology-less back then. So like a lot of companies today, I think doing scheduling on note cards, pen and paper. So there was a lot of things that I felt, you know, it takes a little too long to get my answer that I want, you know? So I would always look for some way to make life easier for me, for the person next to me, for the person who come after me, you know, because at the time I wasn't thinking that like, oh, I'm going to be here forever. You know, I was just kind of helping out, but I was like, why not help out in a way that's really meaningful to everybody? So that's when we started looking into, you know, how can we fix our routing? How can we make that more efficient? How can we make this more technologically advanced? So what started off as, hey, Zeus, you know, would you mind looking into this thing? Maybe we can do this better. I'm like, yeah. So, you know, take this little project on, be like, hey, here you go. That turned out really well. Why don't we move on to the next one, on the next one? And then it was just sort of like, hey, you kind of have your hands in everything, you know? You're almost fulfilling that role already. And then we cemented it into like a legitimate thing. Like, this is who you are. This is what you do. And along with that came new tasks and responsibilities that I've taken on since.
So you went from pen and paper and note cards and a slow turnaround and decided to use software, I'm assuming. Yes? Okay. Mm-hmm. And since then, the efficiency you guys have taken off. Can you tell me a little bit about your growth within the company and how the company is doing?
Oh, it's fantastic. I tell people it's kind of like the world's scariest roller coaster because it's just go, 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 you know? One of the things that no one really tells you, but I think is really important to know, is one of the lessons we learned is when you grow, you know, by like 100, 200, 300%, everything grows 300%, you know? So if there's one piece of advice I'd like to give someone who's considering, because, you know, I think people are basically in two camps where they're like, I'm happy with my business, you know, it sustains me and my family, I'm good. Or like, I want to grow this into like the next Terminex, let's say, you know, it's good to have aspirations. But what you need to know is when you're this size and your problems are this big, if you grow three times, the problems grow too, you know? So it's really good to address problems when they're really, really small. Because if you think to yourself, you know, 5 years from now, I want to be 500% bigger. If you don't address your routing problem now, you're going to have a routing problem that's 500% bigger. So I would really recommend fix the stuff you have. Like, it takes a special kind of person to really like sit down, humble yourself and be like, I'm really bad at routing. I'm really bad at accounts receivable. And that's one of the things we do really well here is we like to put people in the right spots. You know, we're very okay with saying, you know what, I'm just not good at this. You know, so we're going to bring somebody in here who is really good at this. And we've been able to create an awesome staff who they pretty much, for the most part, they handle themselves super well. If they need us, we step in. We are always bringing new ideas to them and we develop ideas from within. So when you have people who are really, really talented, they want to, not only do they want to be coached and they want to be helped, they also want to help you. And they're like, hey, I have this awesome idea. I think it would really work. And you get some really great ideas and the growth kind of just naturally comes from there too.
Yeah, I want to stop you right there because you have so many good things that you're talking about right now. First, about growth, being preparing yourself to grow and reach your goals so that when you get there, you're set and you can kind of just take off, as well as bringing in new ideas. So I want to touch on first about growth. So I know that you guys have grown 377% in the past 3 years, which is to me is bananas. What are some of the systems you have in place? Because I know when a company grows that quickly, there's a lot of things that can come up. You could see in the foundation where there's a few cracks. How did you guys navigate those problems and what systems do you have in place now?
So I think one of the big contributing factors for how we were able to grow so much really has to do with the fact that we started at the foundation and we're thinking to ourselves, you know, we're missing something, you know, we're missing technology, we're missing efficient solutions. And the growth along with, you know, our great staff kind of just came from there where we're doing stuff so well. Like the stuff that we do it really well. You know, we do it really efficiently. We do it very technologically advanced in a way that makes sense for us, makes sense for the customers. So a lot of the growth really comes from having a good foundation. You know, it sounds kind of like, I don't want to say corny, but a little corny, you know, that it starts at the bottom, you know? So you have mm-hmm. to make sure you have that good foundation. And naturally, a good bit of growth is going to come from that. We really focused heavily on routing. That's super important. We want to have a really nice, tight area for our technicians to spend time in. You know, on any given day, we might have one technician solely working this town right here, you know, and then this other technician is only here and they'll just never see each other, you know? Sometimes, you know, you have a customer who's like right in the middle and like, oh, I want this time, you know, of course, you know, we're going to make that possible for them. But you always want to keep your technicians in one place, and routing is super important. Not only the keeping them in one place, but keeping them in an order that makes sense, you know? Mm-hmm. We did come up with an issue where like we're routing really tightly. It's really, really nice, but we're making, you know, spaghetti in that route, you know? So going back to what I said about, you know, putting people in the right place, there's a guy who works here whose entire job is routing, right? All he does is routing, and I'll check in on him and be like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, oh, great. You know, we use the job pool on field routes. We use smart routing on field routes. It's called smart routing. It's much smarter than I am. And basically what will happen is I'll check in on him, be like, hey, it's the beginning of the month. How are we looking on our routes? He'd be like, oh, great. You know, he gives me like this long list of like clients we're doing this month. Oh, they're all scheduled. And I'm like, and I don't get it, you know, like, but like, yeah. I'm humble enough to say that, like, you know, I showed him what I knew. He took on some of what he knew and then he continued learning. And now we have this guy who's just awesome at routing. You know, all of our stops are completely routed for the month and we're doing great there. So those are things software really helped us out with.
I love that. I think routing is so important because, and we had talked about this earlier, you're saving on gas. Your techs are happier. They're not spending as much time in the car getting to somewhere. There's a lot that goes into it that you can benefit from. And you think it's pretty simple, but it has a big impact on the business.
Yeah. I mean, just in general, you know, the difference in good routing can be your tech driving 100 miles or 60 miles, you mm-hmm. know, and those 40 miles are going to rack up really quick. You know, if you're saving 40 miles every day for 10 days, you know, you do the math. That's a lot of wear and tear that you're saving. That's an oil change. That's maybe a little bit later down the line. It's great mm-hmm. for the trucks. It's great for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you tell me a little bit about data and your point of view on data? Because we've discussed this before, and I think that your point of view is really helpful to anyone who's listening right now who kind of thinks data might not necessarily be as important as it actually is.
No, I think data is one of the most important things that we can measure in pest control and in every industry, really. Pest control specifically, you know, because that's, you know, my field now. But I mean, there's so much hidden knowledge that you can get from your data. You know, there's money hidden all over the place. You know, where am I doing well? Where am I doing poorly? One of the most important things that we try to look at is what's selling right now. You know, so if I go and look into my accounts right now, I want to see like, man, we're getting a lot of calls for yellow jackets, you know. I can take that to my marketing team and tell them like, hey, we really want to hammer on yellow jackets. You want to listen to your customers, and the data is their way of speaking back to you. Oftentimes, you can't just go out to the street and ask like, hey, what are you concerned with right now? You know, so you have to make do with what you have, and you have really great data. You know, if you can extrapolate it from your systems and you can learn to interpret what it's saying to you, you can find out exactly what's selling, what's not selling. And what can we do to get in front of these people? What do they really like? You know, what's piquing their interest right now? And mm-hmm. like I said, you can get a lot from them.
Yeah, it sounds to me like data, not only is it telling you what you're doing right with the business, mm-hmm. where you can improve, but also, like you mentioned right now, opportunities to focus your marketing as well.
It's super important. You know, you don't want to be spending, especially with like the cost of marketing right now, you know, you don't want to be launching a campaign for, you know, let's say ants, and none of your customers are really concerned with ants, you know, it might be counterintuitive to say, well, you know, if they're already my customer, you know, why do I want to hear what they say? Well, they have neighbors, you know, and the neighbors are concerned with something too. So if Mrs. Jones has a problem with ants, the chances are that Mrs. Jones's neighbor has a problem with ants. So you can, you know who, how to target and who to target.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's incredibly smart. What other systems do you have in place that you think create efficiency at Newtown?
We have a lot of really good systems where one of the things that I really like to do is I like to sit down with some of our like heads of, you know, departments, and I like to just ask them, what's going on? You know, what does your day look like? How can I make that better for you? And a lot of the time, all you really need to do is listen. You know, I think oftentimes people in my role, we kind of find it's like, okay, well, I want to do something big. I want to make a big impact. I want to help in some certain way. And we kind of spin our wheels trying to like, let me copy what this guy's doing, copy what that guy's doing, or maybe try and find some groundbreaking new thing. When you have one of your technicians sitting there and he's like, man, I wish Zeus knew that X, Y, and Z, you know, I wish we could do this instead. If you just listen to them and you just talk to your technicians, they have some of the best ideas you've ever heard, you know, and they have a lot of things that they want to say to you that will really, really help you. Now, I will say not every single idea is a good one, you know, but that being said, you know, every single one of my ideas isn't a good one. So who am I to expect them to be perfect too?
Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like open communication with the employees that you have and the higher ups that you're dealing with enables you to really have your finger on the pulse of what needs to be done within the company, and as well as the opportunity for great ideas and being able to utilize that as an opportunity for growth as well.
Yeah, I think an open flow of communication from like the highest up to the lowest down is super important. Everybody should know what we're on track to do because it really is a team effort. You know what I mean? I've always said that the technicians are the most important people here. You know, I can sit at this big desk all day and, you know, be like, I think we should do this. I think we should do that. But when the rubber meets the road, it's my guys out there who are really taking up a B&G can and spraying, you know? So I can make decisions all day long. But if my crew's like, no, I don't really want to do that, it's all for nothing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Can you tell me a little bit about the culture at Newtown? I know that you really pride yourself in taking care of your employees there and really listening to them. Can you tell me a little bit about what it's like within the company?
Oh, yeah. So one of the awesome things about Newtown is that the company is kind of always developing, always changing. So we don't go by like a specific set of like, you know, this is our core values. You know, we always strive to do what's best for the customer, what's best for them, and what really what's best for us too. You know, one of the tenets that I like to live by at the company is that everybody we meet is better off for having known us. That includes the customers, that includes our technicians and everybody we interact with. One of the things that we've kept since when Glenn was, you know, established the company 30 years ago is he's always taught everybody do one nice thing, you know? So a lot of our guys will carry brooms around, you know, like you come up to your customer's covered porch, they're coming down the stairs. Why not sweep their front steps a little bit? You know, why not clear out? If you happen to have a snow shovel on you, shovel a little bit of snow, bring up their, you know, their newspaper. Sometimes we come out on garbage day. Roll that can up the driveway, you know? You never know what that one little thing might save somebody, you know, a whole days of heartache. You know, you never know what somebody's going through. And they're like, man, I'm so busy and this can's just sitting there, you know? You know how HOAs are, you know? You leave that can out there for 1 minute too long, all of a sudden you got a letter in your mailbox, you know? So if we can save them even just a little bit of headache, you know, we want to do that. That's really a big part of our culture, is trying to do one, even just one nice thing for everybody. When I was a technician, I kind of lived by the tenet of like treat every customer like mom, you know, because you never know when.
I love that.
I just know if my mom had somebody coming out to the house to spray, I know how I would treat my mom, you know. I'd be like, you know, where are the bugs? Because I still treat my parents' house, you know, like every once in a while if they ask me like, hey, we got some bugs down here. I know I'm doing a super thorough job, you know, I'm opening up every cabinet. I'm looking underneath everything. Where are you seeing bugs? You know, like, are you sure this is the last place you saw? Like, I want to do, and we should be treating every customer. You know, yeah, I like to make them feel comfortable.
Absolutely. What I love about the philosophy of approaching every customer as if they were family or your mom is that it comes from a place of respect. You're really going to try your best to answer those questions, to find out the problem, to show up and do a good job. And it just that simple mindset can change how someone carries themselves when they're going into your home. I know I'm a renter and I never get to choose who's at the company. So I always appreciate when someone takes the time to answer any of my questions, shows me what they're doing or explains something and really tries to understand the problem. So I think that is a great place to operate from.
Absolutely. And, you know, a little bit of a little kernel of knowledge, you know, for the some other operators out there. One of the things that I like to tell people, especially when, like you said, you know, you don't always get to choose your tech. You don't always get to choose who you're working with. When you're really confident in your team, you know, you've taught them well. Sometimes you get customers who are like, oh, well, I really like this technician. You know, it might not work out all the time, but I'm so confident in every single guy here, you know, that I would have every single one of them treat my parents' house. Right. But I'll tell them I still pick up a phone, you know, like I think everybody should spend a little bit of time in each, you know, member's shoes, you know, find out what a day for a CSR is like, you know, it can really help you spark a lot of ideas. But one of the things I do, I'll get a phone call and be like, hey, you know, I really want specific tech. So one thing I tell them, and a lot of people seem to really like it, I tell them that you're really doing yourself a huge disservice by not getting to know the other technicians. Because we hold every single one of them to the same standard quality. So if you love this guy, I know you're going to love him too. Because I'm confident in all of my guys.
Absolutely. Can you tell me a little bit about your training? I know that you focus in a lot on training your technicians and really keeping it consistent across the board. What is that process like?
So it starts with having awesome managers. We have a really great tech manager here who... he still shadows all of our technicians. So he's constantly making sure that like we're still upholding the same quality service that we're known for. And, you know, Newtown means quality up here, you know, in Pennsylvania. So when you see a Newtown truck, you know, they're going out to do some quality service. So really it starts with our tech manager. He does a really awesome interview. If he feels that he's the right fit and we're the right fit for this person, a lot of the time we'll actually just have the guy ride along with one of our technicians. Like I said, I'm confident in all my guys that I know any single one of them could train them. So we have them spend some time getting to know the job, what it looks like, getting to know what the office layout is like. You know, this is how we do our chemicals. This is how we do all of our technology. We use iPads for all of our field routes operations. So getting to know sometimes it might even take a full day for them to get to know, you know, get up to technology savvy with the iPad and such. What's really great is that the training is so easy when it comes to field routes because we have everything laid out in a way that like makes sense for them, you know? So we always try to keep it very simple, very intuitive for them. So even for the guys who might not be so tech savvy, it really is really simple for them to kind of hit the ground running. As soon as we feel like, you know, they're comfortable, they know how we operate, the tablet is the easiest thing for them to work. And a lot of the guys really like it, you know? They like to be able to draw graphs, like to be able to leave great notes.
That's really great. It's nice to be able to have everything you need all in one place as well. Going back to efficiency. I feel like that's the overarching theme of this episode is like, how do I create a company that is efficient and kind and well-organized? And it sounds like you guys at Newtown have it totally under control. It's amazing. Absolutely. So we're talking about efficiency here, really. And it sounds like at Newtown, you have everything all in one place with field routes. Efficiency, you also are dealing with your techs, teaching them how to be in the community and interact with the community, right? So I would love to hear a little bit about your outreach in the community, some of your marketing ideas. I think you have a couple of very old school ideas when it comes to this, and I think they're really cool. So if you could tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so I think really just when it comes to ideas and methods in general, I think we kind of tend to get caught up in what's hot, what's really new right now. And we kind of lose out on some of the fun that was had in years past, you know. When I was younger, I used to look forward, you know, when you're really young, you don't get mail. You know, nobody's writing you any letters or anything, you know. But, like, I feel like mail has just become sort of a routine part of our day, you know. Bill, 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 you know, like stuff like that. And we really like to kind of put that kind of almost nostalgia feeling back into it, you know. So we do a lot of, like, mail-in flyers. We do a lot of, like, postcards. We feel that, you know, everybody's obviously digital marketing works great. It's awesome. You know, it's obviously proven time and time again to work. But I think there's a lot to be said about the old school methods of advertising. You know, people still like to see a beautiful ad on pen and paper. You know, they still like to receive a postcard from us. So we try to really do a balanced mix of, like, we want to do the digital marketing. We want to do the physical stuff. And one thing we're really pushing for this year is we're actually pushing for a lot more community involvement. So at the end of the year, we're going to participate in, like, a Christmas parade. So we're doing a lot of more stuff like that. That's just one of the things that we have planned. We want to, as far as, like, it's not so much community outreach, but it's a little bit more charitable. One of our members on staff, he's been doing jiu-jitsu for a long time. So I threw myself in the mix and I joined a jiu-jitsu gym. And we're going to participate in the thing called Tap Cancer Out. It might be Tap Cancer Out or Tap Out Cancer. I don't remember the semantics of it. But it's basically a jiu-jitsu tournament for cancer research. So I'm going to put my neck literally on the line for cancer research. But, you know, we're going to reach out. We're going to let people know about it. You know, like, it's a fundraiser. So it all goes to cancer charities. So we're going to let everybody know, like, hey, look, Zeus is going to go, you know, get thrown around on a mat for cancer research, you know. And just let the customers know that, you know, we care, you know, about the community, about charity, about we're trying to reach out to this local dog adoption. That we love dogs. We're very much dog people. So when one of our clients, he mentioned, like, oh, you know, I actually do a dog rescue charity. We're like, you know, we got to get involved with this. We have to help them in any way that we can, you know. So we're going to try to, you know, help them in any single way we can. You know, obviously pest control, dogs, you know, get a weak treatment here and there.
Yeah. They go hand in hand.
Anyone
ever mentions pest control, they're like, pets and adoption. Pet. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I have to say, I think this type of outreach is incredibly important to a community. They're seeing you take care of the people around you, as well as creating this opportunities to meet each other, to really get to know each other. And as soon as they have a pest issue, which no one ever wants, they're going to know they can call their friends at Newtown and really get the service that they need. I would love to hear a little bit more about this parade. If you don't mind, if you could kind of go into what your artistic vision is for this.
Oh, man. You know, I'm not much of an artist. I'll tell you that much. But I can say I'll probably dress up as Santa. The jury's still out on whether it's going to be Santa or I'm going to wear, like, an ant costume. But, you know, there's going to be candy given out. You know, we're going to hand out some. We're going to let the community know that, hey, we're here. You know what I mean? And I think they, at this point, they know that we're here, you know, but it's a friendly reminder that, like, hey, we care, we're here. Maybe you don't need us right now, but in the future, you know, think about us, you know. So
yeah.
We're not trying to push anybody and, like, hey, come get my service. But, you know, just to let you know, hey, we've been here, you know, Glenn started the company over 30 years ago, so we've been a part for a long time. I think it's time that we gave a little bit back to the community that helps us do so much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, first of all, I'm going to need a photo of you as Santa or an aunt. I'm happy with either. I think they're both excellent ideas. I think we should just take a poll and go from there.
Yeah.
It sounds like all of these opportunities in the community are really near and dear to your heart, which is something that you want to see from a company, something that feels authentic. You don't want it to feel put on. And it sounds like you guys are doing things that are close to your heart, which I think is great.
Yeah. Well, you know, having grown up here, you know, this is my home, you know, so anything I can do for this place, it makes me happy as well.
Absolutely. Zeus, this has been so much fun and so informative. I had a blast. I have one last question for you. Very often people hear pest control who are not in the business, and I feel like there's a negative connotation that goes with it, or you know, people kind of ask that, like have like a little bit of a question mark because they don't know much about the community and the business itself. Can you tell me what you wish people knew about the pest service industry?
Absolutely. And, you know, especially going back to what we were talking about, like, you know, pets and keeping them safe and everything. I think I prefer the term pest control. I really like when people call it, you know, environmental services, because that's really what we do. You know, we maintain clean environments. We maintain safe environments for pets, people, for babies and grandma, you know. So I feel like the term exterminator gets thrown around a lot. It started to kind of go away now, but it kind of makes us seem like, you know, we're merchants of death here, you know, like he's going to show up and kill all my ants. When in reality, a pest control company like ours, what we do is a lot of it has to do with a bit of prevention as well. You know, we do a lot of wildlife exclusions. We do a lot of our treatments are centered around keeping them out before they become a nuisance to your home, you know. Or when pets get involved with like fleas, ticks, anything like that, obviously that brings a danger to your home, not only for your pets, but also for you, because they can carry disease as well. I prefer to think of pest control as more of a steward to the environment, both ours and theirs, you know. When we eliminate invasive insects, when we eliminate invasive wildlife from your home, it allows the other native wildlife and native insect to thrive just outside of our environment, you know? So we try to keep that balance where we prevent things from getting inside your home. We prevent them from ever becoming a problem to you, and they can live outside where they belong. So I think, you know, pest control and environmental services, I wish people would think of us more in that way rather than, you know, I'm here to just destroy every single ant that ever existed.
Yeah, exactly. I think that is just a great perspective. It's really about keeping our homes safe and clean, and also respecting the fact that very often we share the planet with these insects. They're animals and we have to respect them, but we also want to make sure that you're safe. So it's this symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, exactly. We just help everyone stay in their environment, you know, and maintain it safe for both.
Excellent. Oh, Zeus, I had so much fun. Thank you for being our very first interview. Truly, I think it was so informative and also entertaining. So thank you so much. And I can't wait to get some updates on the parade.
You'll be the first person I know. I'm thinking of, you know, Santa Ant, you know, it's got ant in there. Maybe Santa Ant.
You could
ant.
Do it.
Yeah, I'll figure
you could
it.
Do a combo. You could do a hybrid. Absolutely.
May have
absolutely.
To cut some holes in my hat, but I'll make it work.
I think you will. Excellent. Thank you so much again.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Are you a Field Routes Power user? Join the Pathfinder Network, our exclusive community of top users. Network with peers, influence our software's direction, and participate in reference opportunities with prospects. Enjoy exclusive benefits, such as special content and events, discounted Field Routes event tickets, and brand exposure. Click the link in our show notes to join the Pathfinder Network today and take your Field Routes experience to the next level.